Next normal, study at home.
Noul normal, învățatul de acasă.
The past few months, from the student's perspective, what are the three first words that come into your mind?
From my perspective, I think adapt, so support, and communication.
For me, it would be digitalization, inaccessibility, unfortunately, and work remotely.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a new podcast called Next Normal, We Study at Home. We warmly welcome you and us. That is me, myself, Laura Eichbrecht, and Patricia Bonodo. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Laura. My name is Patricia Bonodo, and I'm a researcher at Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany.
We're part of a research team and working group around Professor Ehlers in Karlsruhe, which is in the sunnier part of Germany in the southwest. And there we are doing research on the future of education and mostly on the future of higher education. We started with another podcast in April called Studium and Shutdown, and there I had the very great opportunity to talk to students all over Germany about their experiences right now in times of Corona shutdown. And now we're taking a new step with our new podcast called Next Normal, We Study at Home. For this, you can also visit our website, which is next-normal.eu, and there you can also find a map of Europe. Why a map of Europe? Because we're strongly supported by ESU, the European Students Union, and they are setting us up with contacts all over Europe with the national student unions to do the interviews with. So more episodes are about to follow. The next one will be with Slovenia. So sign up for our podcast to listen to other great episodes about the future of higher education in Europe. With those students, we want to talk about what it's like to be studying right now and what future of higher education we would like to have.
And our question is, what is the next normal of European student life and education?
In the interviews, we will start with asking about what has actually happened in the last few months and what is it like to be studying right now as a student in Europe. Afterwards, we want to hear about things that went really well, because we are pretty certain that there will be some really nice inspirational stories that we can build upon. And finally, we want to find out what could a good, a positive, a visionary future of higher education be? What can we learn from this right now? What do we take from this situation of crisis for good future European higher education?
Each episode is dedicated to one European member state. And today, Laura?
Yes, today we are talking to two representatives of the National Alliance of Student Organizations in Romania. We are very happy to welcome Irina Duma, who's the Vice President International Relations, and Tamara Ciobanu, who's the Vice President Education.
My name is Tamara Ciobanu. You can call me Tamara or Tami. At the moment, I'm a third year law student in Babeș-Bolyai University in Cluj-Napoca, Romania. And right now I'm a Vice President for Education in ANOSR, National Alliance for Student Organizations in Romania.
Okay, I am Irina Duma. I study automotive engineering within the Technical University of Cluj-Napoca in Romania. I am in the second year of master's, so I am about to graduate in a few days, and hopefully I will be a PhD student from next autumn. I am also vice president within ANOSRE for international relations. This is the National Union of Students that represents all Romanian students both at national and international level through our appertaining to the European Students Union.
Maybe you can just spend some few sentences to describe a bit the words you choose.
I chose support because in this period I saw how important it was for us to somehow help each other and give us all the support we need. And in a certain day, it was important just to ask a person, are you okay? Everything's fine. And I think that was enough just to make that person's day better. And I think that's what I meant when I said support. It was really important for us to somehow communicate on that, give each other feedbacks that we're okay and we're doing just fine and we can continue this special period from home.
I said digitalization because even if this crisis has caused a lot of damage both at national and international level, it has like raised the pace of digitalization within the higher education systems, which we have never had if it wasn't for this shutdown period and if the whole system wasn't obliged to go digital from scratch. San Osere has conducted the study among all students in Romania and the teaching staff. They were two questionnaires spread. And we have found out that one of the main issues regarding the participation to the teaching and learning process was the lack of access or the lack of devices equipped with internet, or even the lack of internet connection, internet network, because there are very many students who come from rural areas that do not have the necessary reception. So the accessibility for those students to higher education during the past 3 months was almost non-existent, unfortunately. And yes, I think we have around 50,000 out of 450,000 students without access to devices or internet or whatsoever.
That's a huge amount. Tamara, you just mentioned also the words adapt and communication.
One of the main activities of this period for the universities was that they had to fastly adapt to the situation. They had to engage in certain activities that they were not really used to, and somehow find different solutions for alternative evaluation of the students. And that's why I think I use the word adapt, not only for the university, but also for us as students and communication, because I think we had to communicate more with our classmates, with our colleagues, with our teachers to understand certain subjects, certain areas, certain topics. I think the information was somehow a little bit less understood by students in this period, and that's why we needed a better communication to make sure that each and every student understands what it has to do in this period.
Now in the introduction we've heard a little bit about what has actually happened in the last few months. There was a shutdown mostly everywhere. What's it like right now, and what are the really next steps? How is it going to be in the next few months?
As Irina said, we, Ana Osere, distributed these two forms, these two questions for the teachers and the students. For that one, for the students, we had like around 5,000 answers from all over the country. So we somehow, we are able to conjure a bigger picture of the situation. About the support offered, 51% of them declared that they were mostly held by the faculty management and by the university management, by the support group especially made for this period in their faculty, the university. Also, it's important to mention that they got a lot of help from the classmates. Almost 50% of them declared that classmates helped them a lot in all the process. And of course, the student organizations had an important role in developing and accommodating with this period. At the moment, we do not know yet if we can start from autumn or not physically.
This is why at government level, together with the Romanian presidency, there has been made a working group in which all the civil society, let's say, is involved in order to prepare the start of the new academic year. Ana Osere is also part of this working group, and we proposed several measures regarding the scenarios that are being delivered and updated day by day by the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Education and Research. We thought not only teaching and learning wise, but also accommodation or canteen wise. We have proposed the reduction of the number of students accommodated per room, because there are still dormitories with 4 or 5 students in each room. The government should support public-private partnerships in order to ensure that all students who need accommodation will receive it and will not appeal to the rental market, which is very, very high. The digitization of all learning resources from universities' libraries. So we really need that all the books and all the research papers will be put into institutional databases, so all students can access them remotely without having to go to the library and book those books. Regarding the digitalization of the higher education system, we are currently analyzing the idea of implementing blended education into the Romanian higher education system, meaning that some activities will be held face-to-face and some of them will be held online. So we can reduce the physical interaction as much as we can. Also, we have thought about the necessary support for disabled students. We thought about ensuring digital skills for teachers, which is also very important, and teachers should be trained during this holiday period to have the basic digital and technology skills. Furthermore, we thought about the optimal conditions for international students and alternative solutions for them, because we don't know how the pandemic outbreak will be in autumn, and maybe if they are home but they are enrolled in a Romanian university, we should think about ways to deliver them the necessary education without them having to come to Romania, because they might not be able to do so, especially for non-EU countries. Last but not least, we thought about the implementation of virtual and or blended mobilities, but of course this is in accordance with the new European Commission's guidelines when talking about international mobilities such as Erasmus+, and also the operationalization of internal mobilities. Regarding the financial support for students that were directly affected by the pandemic, we have to take into consideration those students whose families' incomes have decreased because of the pandemic. We proposed the rise of budgetary funds for scholarships based on socioeconomic criteria, and even taking into account this period of shutdown solely, and the possibility of postponing university fee payments. We have also thought about psychological support and students' mental health. So we have proposed several measures for students to be counseled accordingly to their psychological needs. Of course, we asked for the improvement of medical services delivered by universities, and of course, or the big problem of mandatory internships, the mandatory practical activities within some fields of study, which could not be conducted during the pandemic. Therefore, we proposed not taking into consideration the transferable credits for this subject and give students the possibility to retake them in the following academic year without discriminating them in any way, either educationally or socially or whatsoever. But of course, this can only be applicable for students who are not in their final years. The last but not least, we have also thought about public-private partnerships for alternative public transport, such as bicycle rentals instead of bus, metro, and so on. Maybe the most important thing is for universities to prepare short-term strategies in case of local or regional outbreak of the virus spread. So what will we do if we have an outbreak in a campus? And of course, we have proposed the organization of helping activities for students who missed online education because of the lack of access.
Okay, wow, thank you. That's very impressive. I think it's the first time that we heard a such complete and long list of measures that are very supportive and also very inclusive. So thank you for that. When I heard this list, I thought, when you think of studying in times of shutdown and the situation now, so we heard a lot of things that are required or needed right now, but does it work right now?
I think this depends on who you're asking. For example, all the difficulties were really related to somehow the teaching area. Like, I think it was really harder for a person from engineering sciences to somehow accommodate this period, for example, combining with law, for me, it wasn't that hard because basically I'm reading books. So I'm usually doing this in at home. So it's not a big difference. But I think for someone that had a lot of practice and a lot of practical parts, it was harder. Sports also had a lot of problems. Art, architecture, acting, music, all these kind of areas had problems. Also, an important part that was affected was, of course, medicine, veterinary medicine, and agricultural sciences, because they, again, have a lot of practical parts and laboratories and all these kind of things, and they had to shut it down. And from their point of view, if you ask them, no, it didn't work that well.
From a personal point of view, in the last months, is there something that you learned about yourself, or like new skills you acquired, or some new perspectives? Would you say there's like in the last few months there have been any personal achievements that you can account for?
I personally have improved very much my time management, which was a very huge problem before the shutdown. Maybe also because I had much more time, because I wouldn't waste it just traveling from one place to another, or from one city to another, or having all sorts of like physical events. And I have also learned to use a lot of available tools online that I haven't even heard about before, because honestly, who did online teaching and learning? So yeah, it was another good thing that I think would be helpful in the future.
It bought me a lot of time this period, and somehow I could use it developing other things. Like in the past, I almost used just the Skype. Skype was my thing. And now I can, I don't know, I think I can have a proficiency certificate for Teams and Zoom and Meet and all these kind of platforms. I can teach them already. I think another important thing that I've learned is what people are truly my friends and who to keep close. It's not a skill, but somehow you see who is next to you and who asks you if you're okay and who some helps you, wants to help you in this period. And as a country, we saw this not only like in universities, also saw this, there were a lot of people who were able to help elder people from isolated areas and so on and things like this. And it was really important to see that people can do this and somehow give up on their free time to help others. And I think that's other thing that I learned, that it's really important to help one another and to be there for each other.
When you think of mobility, or the new or the next normal mobility, how can it work? How mobility has changed, and maybe how mobility has to change in the future?
From my point of view, like as a former Erasmus Plus student in a foreign country, I am really sorry for those students who will only be able to have virtual mobilities. Because, of course, mobilities and international mobilities are about learning new things and learning in a new environment. But they are also about, and maybe most importantly, they are about making connections, living in multicultural environments, and, I don't know, having a taste of a different culture. Unfortunately, this cannot be replaced by virtual mobilities. I don't know what to say, how mobilities will be from now on, and how long will it take us to get back to the old classic mobilities that have their charm, especially through this multicultural approach. Of course, we have to continue with them virtually, and we have to make sure that students will get the best out of them, but I am still certain that it's not going to be the same.
And also, I can add to this, it's important to mention that we in Romania still have a lot of cases. We are still somehow preparing for more virtual mobilities than other countries will probably have.
We now heard a lot of ideas and stories about what has actually happened in the last few months in Romania and what needs to change in order to ensure quality studies for students in Romania, and also what the next difficult steps will be for that. We are pretty certain that there have been positive things to report on, some inspirational stories that we can learn from and that we would like to hear about now.
Some good things that happened, or in some universities that has given like laptops and other devices to their students in order to help them. But okay, you would say that, okay, this is something normal, but some of the universities even donated devices for high school students who are preparing for their baccalaureate or the national evaluation. So this was a kind of example of building a bridge between secondary and higher education systems. So yeah, I think this was, at least for me, quite inspirational, because they haven't only thought about themselves and their students, but also about the others and the future.
Here, there were just a few universities that made this green line that we proposed that could help students like 24/7, and not only students, teachers, people in need. I don't know. They could call at every hour and ask for help and things like this. And I think this is another somehow great thing that happened. In several places, we heard that it worked really well. And I think this is another good example of good practice that can continue. Yeah, and of course, as we said, not only education, this was something like a lot of organizations just raised money and things like this to help elder people and people that were in isolation. And this was a help that was by far, I think, one of the best.
Yeah, and I really think that youth organizations and student organizations were very much into this volunteering and helping things. So we have proved once again that education is actually the future of a good society.
Starting from this very beautiful sentence, how can we create an even better future of higher education then?
I think some steps there need to be taken. First, we have to somehow accept the fact that digital skills should become a priority for everyone, not only for students, also for teachers. Also, there is a big need of firstly adapting to new situations in times of crisis. That's why a short-term strategy is really important. And of course, somehow, as much as it's possible, a physical interaction also has to represent at least a small part of this, because it's important for creating connections, for transmitting information for all between the members of the academia. And I think that's how we are somehow trying to improve the next period.
Yes, I also think that we had a lot to learn from this shutdown and from this pandemic. We also have to be realistic and think that this pandemic has brought a lot of drawbacks, especially education-wise, because unfortunately, as I said in the beginning, for a lot of students, both in higher education and in secondary education, this shutdown period was like a total lack of education for them. Universities and schools will have to work really hard to get them back and avoid school dropout. But we should also think about the one good thing that this pandemic has brought as digitalization, and we should continue using digital tools even if we will come back to physical interaction day by day like we used to do before. And I think that combining these two, like face-to-face activities and digital tools, we will be much closer to the ideal of education.
Yes, and after all, let's be honest, there are a lot of digital tools that somehow help us a lot.
As a research group working on the future of higher education, we're also always interested in hearing about skills and what skills students will need in the future. We've already heard now about digital skills that are very important both for students and for teachers. We would like to know if there are any other skills, future skills, that you can think of that will become very important for the future.
I also think about the academic integrity and ethics part. For example, if we have online evaluation, most of the exams are online, of course, and it's harder somehow to see if what is an exam is real or not. And I think that's what we need to teach mostly students and of course teachers about academic integrity, about plagiarism, and about all this chapter, what does it mean, punitive measures and all these kind of things, just to cover this subject.
I was thinking about how can we ensure students that they will have qualitative workplaces when they will graduate. Now this whole shutdown period has also accelerated the automatization in very many fields. In some fields, especially in the fields of engineering and process engineering, I don't think that there will be so much need of technicians as they work today, and they will have to adapt, and the labor market together with education institutions should help them adapt and should teach them to work on automized, I don't know, process lines and so on. This kind of change was very much accelerated because specialists before the pandemic thought that, okay, this change or some jobs will disappear in maybe 10, 20, 30 years. But now this has been very much accelerated by the pandemic and maybe even 10 times.
And also, I think this is not really a skill, but somehow we have to cultivate our patience. Now we are staying a lot of time at home. The numbers are showing us that the cases of domestic violence are rising, or at least raised in the shutdown period. And I think it's important to learn how to be patient with each other and to somehow learn to listen to each other and help a lot.
In the end of our podcast, we really would like to take a look into the future, a visionary look into the future, a positive one. What should a great future higher education be like?
I don't know. In my opinion, I think the ideal education would be for all of us to go back to face-to-face activities without being supposed to any risk, any epidemiological risk. But at the same time, I think that a very, very important measure that has to be kept would be that all learning resources should be online for students.
To sum up, I think my words are continuity, inclusive, equity, and good solutions. I think these are the words that should somehow sum up the ideal education in the next period.
I think it's very important for each and every higher education system, doesn't matter if it's Romanian or another one, to do some research on the things that worked abroad, that worked at international level, and not only take them and put them into the national system, but adapt them to the national context.
Next Normal, We Study at Home is a podcast produced by the Next Education Working Group around Ulf Daniel Ehlers, Patricia Bonodo and Laura Albrecht from the Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany, strongly supported by the ESU, the European Students Union.
Next Normal, Study at Home.
Noul normal, învățatul de acasă.